Miramax Films. BBC Films. A Celador Films production. A man in his 30s, Okwe, lingers at the arrivals lounge of an airport.
You want a car? £10, sit down. Car? London.
Passengers pass him by. Dirty, pretty things.
You want a taxi? Buckingham Palace.
A film by Stephen Frears.
Where have you
been? No one.
It's like a castle.
Are you from Sajid?
I'm not here to meet you in particular, but I am here to rescue those that have been let down by the system.
Okay, let's go.
Okwe drives the two-seated gentleman through a tunnel. Chiwetel Ejiofor, Audrey Tautou, Sergio Lopez, Sophie Okonedo, Benedict Wong, Zlatko Buric. Okwe drives into an area of council estates and grimy railway tunnels. A train rumbles over a bridge overhead. Beneath it, Okwe pulls up outside a green neon-lit minicab office. He gets out of the car, glancing up at the bridge as he heads inside. He hands the car keys to another man, along with an identity card. Okwe gestures to the cross the man's wearing round his neck.
My name is now Mohammed.
Thank you, Okwe.
Okwe goes up to a glass partition and counts out some money for the controller, but the controller taps on the glass and gestures for Okwe to follow him along a narrow passageway.
Hurry up, my man, come quick now.
He takes him into a back room and closes the door. Once there, the controller pulls down his trousers and underpants and gestures to his groin. A little later, Okwe's on his knees, a grimace on his face, as he treats the controller's groin with a white cloth.
Bitch. This shit dustbin city. So, what, Okwe?
I'm Oxycillin.
You get that in boots, all right, or not?
From a doctor.
You're a doctor.
I'm a driver.
Look, they say you're a doctor, right? You get me something now? I can't piss fire another day, man.
I'm a driver.
It's for my wife's sake, you know what I mean. Okay. So I'll get you all the jobs in South London.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Let me kiss you, Okwe.
Maybe in return you can get some soap.
Okwe leaves the cab office, popping green leaves from a bag into his mouth as he crosses the road. A doorman dressed in a smart red uniform stands outside a plush hotel as Okwe makes his way up to the entrance.
Early is as bad as late, Okwe.
Okwe heads through the revolving doors. He goes to his locker and hangs up a red uniform, brushing it down. Now wearing the uniform, he checks his appearance in a mirror, then heads off. A clock reads a few minutes after two. Okwe's sitting at the front desk. He glances at a CCTV monitor showing the doorman standing on the deserted nighttime street.
Hello, front desk? No, I'm afraid the kitchen is closed for midnight. Sorry. Good night.
Okwe puts the phone down. Outside, a black cab drives past the hotel. A clock reads 1 minute to five. Okwe ejects a videotape labelled Wednesday from a machine beneath a bank of CCTV monitors. He inserts a new tape and then heads off. People stroll in through the revolving doors. One of them, a young woman with dark hair, looks pointedly at the CCTV camera. Okwe hurries into the lobby. The woman drops her keys and they both bend down to pick them up.
What? Shania, perhaps today I can cook you lunch.
No, Okwe.
Shania walks off.
So that's true what they say.
What is true?
They say you and the Turkish girl are nesting like birds.
I rent her couch. In the morning, when she's working here. Whenever they're at the same time, she has rules.
You know, she's a Muslim. It means she's a virgin. Like a little angel.
Ivan, I think there's someone at the door.
Ivan heads to the door.
Can you believe it? One of the fuckers want to put me on his visa card.
Oh, my blooming feet. Lucky I don't work standing up.
What? Are they Africa's where you come from? Where are you from? Somewhere with lions, I bet.
He lights her a cigarette.
I like lions. Right.
Oh, yeah. You might want to send someone to check on the room.
There is a problem.
How should I know? I don't exist, do I? See you tomorrow.
Juliet saunters away. Okwe goes into the hotel room, snapping on the light. The bed's a mess, the sheets in disarray, and the pillows jumbled up. He picks up an ashtray from the bed and puts it on a bedside table. He approaches the bathroom and turns on the light. The toilet's overflowing. He heads off, then comes back a moment later with a wire hanger twisted into a hook. He sets a towel round the base of the toilet bowl, then lifts the lid and sinks the hook into the overflowing water. As he pokes the wire into the toilet, bubbles ripple to the surface, followed by a cloud of blood. Okwe withdraws the wire, looking uneasily at the scarlet water. He opens the bin and takes out a plastic bag. He wraps it around his arm, then plunges his hand into the water. He feels around the U-bend. He strains to pull something out. He lifts out a large heart. Okwe looks shocked. He quickly turns and heads towards the sound. Okwe comes out of the lift, carrying the heart in the plastic bag. At the front desk, Okwe looks through a list of emergency numbers.
What's that? You're stealing stuff already, huh? Guy before you used to take whole pigs from the freezer. But you better hide it. If Sneaky sees that, I'll speak of the fucking devil.
Ivan quickly stubs out his cigarette. Sneaky drives his expensive car into the car park. He gets out, noticing some boxes littering the floor next to some industrial dustbins.
This fucking place.
He puts them in the bin.
Hey! Instead of smoking, you clean this place up.
The staff don't pay him much notice. Okwe crosses the lobby, clutching the heart in the plastic bag. He heads to a staff door. Sneaky comes into his office, holding a staff uniform covered in dry cleaning plastic. He hangs it up in a wardrobe, then opens a desk drawer and takes out a miniature bottle of alcohol. As he drinks it down, Okwe comes in, holding the plastic bag.
Okwe, everything is all right?
Okwe sets the plastic bag on a desk.
What's this, lunch?
It was blocking the lavatory in room 510. It is a heart. A human heart.
What? What the fuck do you know about hearts, Okwe?
Perhaps you should telephone the police.
Police? You think I should call the police?
Senor Juan, someone is dead.
Okay. You speak to them. You found it, you do the talking. I will introduce you.
Sneaky gets on the phone.
What's your full name, Okwe? And you never told me where you're from. Or even, how come you're here in this beautiful country? Hello? Police? Yeah, got somebody wants to talk to you.
Sneaky offers the phone to Okwe, who looks up at him with a troubled expression. Sneaky smiles and hangs up.
You will learn, Okwe. The hotel business is about strangers. And strangers will always surprise you, you know? They come to hotels in the night to do dirty things. And in the morning, it's our job to make things look pretty again. For your trouble.
Okwe refuses the money.
You think if you don't take the money, you are innocent? Take it. Do something nice with it.
Okwe walks out without taking the banknote.
No.
Okwe strolls across a busy high street and into a grocery store. He heads through a back door, then up a set of metal stairs, taking a key from his pocket. He heads into his pokey flat, a postcard in his hand. He sets the postcard on a table. It's a picture of New York City. He lays on a sofa and pulls a thin blanket over him, glancing wearily at the light pouring in through the window above the sofa. He sighs and rubs his eyes. He glances around the flat, a sorrowful expression on his face. He gets up. Okwe walks through a hospital, following a sign for the mortuary. He strolls along a corridor and knocks on a window. An assistant, Gao Yi, waves to him as he wipes blood from an examining table.
It came to me last night, in a flash of inspiration.
Gao Yi brings over a chessboard and makes a move.
I can see. That's a good move.
Ah.
Gao Yi, there's something I need.
A box of ceiling. You got the clap?
No. My boss.
Which one?
They're all the same.
In this country, the health service is free. You're still driving cabs in the day. You're going to kill yourself.
I do not care to sleep.
When you go quiet, it means you've won already. Go on, Okwe, don't be nice. Makes it worse.
Okwe checks the king with his white knight.
Well, shit. You want Chinese or English tea?
Chinese.
Don't know how you drink that stuff. I found it on a body. Blow my head wide open. You should read it. Medicine for your soul, Okwe.
Gao Yi, today I also found something.
Uh-huh.
In a lavatory, in one of the hotel rooms, someone's heart. A heart. A human heart. I'm only telling you because you are a rational man. Maybe there's an explanation.
A chute opens and plastic sacks full of human tissue and organs pour through.
Maybe some guy with one of the girls had a heart attack. Rooms are down as empty, so the Spanish guy had to get rid of the body. Hotels hate dead people.
It was a healthy heart.
So your boss was right first time. Somebody brought it with them.
Who carries human organs?
Lots of people.
Name someone.
Me, okay? It's me. I do it all the time. I take my work home. What I'm saying is I could if I was weird. And this is a weird city.
Why would anyone do that to a human heart?
They sound to me like questions. I don't ask questions after 11 years here. And I'm a certified refugee. You're an illegal, Oakway. You don't have a position here. You have nothing. You are nothing. You wait outside. I'll go get you those pills. Stick to helping people who can be helped.
In a cafe, a man comes out of the kitchen clutching two bushels of herbs. He goes over to Okwe at the counter with his goods. Okwe takes a sip of his drink, then smells the herbs.
Fresh stuff. Thank you.
He gives the cafe owner some money, then notices Shanai hurry past outside. She makes her way through a bustling market, Okwe following her, carrying two shopping bags. He catches up with her at a fruit and veg stall. He places some keys on the fruit in front of her, then walks into the grocery store. Looking apprehensive, Shanai takes the keys and follows, pushing past Okwe.
Shanai. Shanai. Shanai, having only one key is making this impossible.
I do not want you coming in when I am there.
At the hotel, we are friends. I'm not different.
Shh.
I'm not different here.
How would it look, Okwe?
So it is better I always chase you down the street?
Wait 5 minutes, then knock the door. Knock very, very quietly.
She heads into the flat. A little later, Okwe's finally chopping some garlic. He brings the chopping board over to a table where other ingredients have been laid out. Shanai's in the bathroom.
Shanai!
Yes?
Did you clean on the fifth floor yesterday morning?
He turns on the tap in the kitchen, and the running tap in the bath peters out.
Nothing works.
Shanai, did you clean room 510 yesterday?
What the hell are you talking about the hotel for?
I was wondering if there was a problem in 510 yesterday.
You can't fix these things? Okwe! You can't fix...
They were not clean. Glasses need very hot water.
So do women. Everything here is connected to everything else.
She notices the table.
Okwe, in Africa, it is the men who cook and clean.
Shanai, this came for you.
The postcard.
Why did you not tell me?
I just told you.
They're eating.
You have friends in New York?
She sprinkles on some salt, not answering.
Your postcard.
I have a cousin. Ever since I was small, she has written to me.
I sometimes wish London was more like New York. It'd be easy to drive a cab there.
You have been to New York?
He nods.
And you came back?
I lived there for a time.
In the winter, they put lights in the trees. Is that true? And you can skate in the parks. And some of the policemen ride white horses. Not all of them, but some. What did you do there?
I worked in a hospital.
You were a cleaner?
I was there to study.
So, why are you working in a hotel?
It is an African story.
I've noticed you never answer yes or no. You are very strange.
You drink wine, Shanai?
Do you want to know why I left Turkey?
Because you wanted to live like your cousin.
No, because I do not want to live like my mother. Yes.
Yes, what?
I do drink wine.
He pours her some red wine. She takes a sip.
This is a recipe from Nigeria. In Nigeria, they do many interesting things with pork.
Shanai looks disturbed.
But of course I use lamb.
He looks at her with a teasing smile. Okwe goes into the cab office and over to the glass partition where he shows the controller a bottle of tablets.
Take one 3 times a day. Avoid alcohol.
The controller gestures for Okwe to follow him into the back room once again, where this time 3 of his drivers are waiting. They all pull down their pants and show Okwe their groins.
So she's a popular lady.
The warriors cannot work with rotten balls. Okwe.
My friend is just a porter in the hospital crematorium.
Okwe takes out her handkerchief, then with a look of barely concealed distaste, kneels down to examine the first patient. It's 3 a.m. at the hotel front desk.
Hello, front desk? No, I'm afraid the kitchen is closed from midnight.
Ivan grabs the phone.
Hello? Yeah, room service.
In the kitchen, Okwe takes some food out of the fridge, while Ivan brings in a loaf of bread.
Sneaky doesn't know about this.
Sneaky knows about everything. And you? You know everything that goes on in the hotel?
No, no, not so much butter, hey.
You guard the door, Ivan. You see who comes and goes. What I mean is you would know if somebody came into the hotel but did not leave again.
Why would someone not leave, Okwe?
I don't know.
You should remove the crust, like in the Ritz. Everyone leaves, Okwe. Some leave quickly, some stay for a long time. If you want to stay, don't concern yourself with who comes and who goes. It's the little touches that make the difference. That's capitalism. Now go. Don't forget, you accept only cash.
Room service.
Okwe hands over the sandwich and takes some money. Okwe walks away from the room, then stops, looking pensive. He heads back along the hallway, then takes the lift. He pulls back the lift gate, then steps into another hallway and approaches room 510. He takes out a key card and opens the door. He kneels down by the toilet and inspects the bowl. He opens the bin, then closes it. He opens the shower curtain, glances at the bath, then examines a stack of hotel towels. Quickly, he climbs into the bath and closes the shower curtain. Okwe looks increasingly anxious. Okwe opens the curtain slightly and takes a peek. Juliet standing in front of the bathroom mirror, adjusting her bosom.
Come on, babe, hurry up.
Okay, okay. Drink first.
You look fine. Just get out of here.
Hey.
She goes out. She gets up from the floor, wiping her mouth, then punches the man in the face and kicks him in the crotch. She sprays mace in his eyes until Okwe rushes over and pulls her away.
Enough. No more.
Where the fuck did you come from?
You leave now.
He pushes the man out the door and throws his jacket out after him. Later, Okwe examines Juliet's face in the bathroom.
You don't have concussion.
What the fuck do you know? Christ, you must be bored. Getting your kick spying on me.
I was making sure the blockage had not returned. Perhaps...
It's Juliet.
You should go home and rest.
Rest? 3 more before morning. So... Have you ever seen a lion?
Oh, yes. On TV.
Okwe On CCTV, Shanai comes into the hotel, looking up into the camera as she does so. She hovers in the lobby area, looking in her handbag. She glances over her shoulder, then runs over to Okwe and shows him some keys.
I had it cut. It is yours. You were right. This way is more sensible.
Okwe looks pleased as she hurries away. Okwe's at home doing some ironing. Shanai comes in.
Okwe, you must not tell them at the hotel that you have a key.
Shanai, I tell them the truth.
Even so. And show them that your back hurts so they know you sleep on the floor.
But that is not true. I sleep on the couch.
The couch is not as real as the floor, Okwe. Believe me, I'm a woman. And some of those bitches won't know what is a couch. But the new floor, the clean floor.
They look fearfully towards the door.
Immigration Enforcement Directive. On the door.
Shanai quickly throws Okwe's clothes into the oven, and Okwe chucks his bag on top of the wardrobe, then ducks into another room. Shanai opens the door.
Give us, please, Miss Gillick.
Shanai Gillick, yeah? Turkish national. Get your SAL handy.
My what?
Your standard acknowledgement letter, your ID.
Oh, yeah. Hurry.
Neighbours, Shanai, they see things. They say in the last few days they've seen someone come and go. A man. Sometimes, Shanai, a woman in your position can be exploited. There are lots of people living in London without any kind of papers at all. They prey on people like you.
Prey?
There is someone living here.
There is no one living here.
You are aware, Shanai, that your ELR status means you're unable to accept rent. You're seeking asylum.
You're engaged in employment of any kind for at least 6 months.
You're not working, are you, Shanai?
Mind if I use your bathroom?
Your case is under review.
The officer bursts into the bathroom and rummages around Shanai's toiletries. He opens the window. Outside, Okwe clings to the water pipe, then jumps off it without the officer spotting him. He strides barefooted through the market. In the cafe, Okwe sits waiting as the owner brings him over a pair of trainers.
Thank you.
Is that all you want?
No.
You know this stuff will not only keep you awake, it'll blow your brains out. You know that, don't you?
His assistant gives him another bunch of herbs. Okwe goes into the cab office. Someone tosses him some keys and an ID card.
Hey, Okwe, what man? Hey, somebody was born Komumuli, right? Hey, you take this. We don't want a doctor getting sick, right?
Okwe's car is sitting in the road, traffic piled up behind him. He's dozed off, and there's a businessman in the back who's also fallen asleep.
No.
Okwe springs awake, stuffs some green leaves in his mouth, then drives on.
It's bound to happen. You stay here too long. You start dressing like an Englishman. Huh?
Okwe goes into a hotel basement and opens the door to a storeroom. He examines a range of shoes on a shelf. He selects a pair of smart black shoes, then walks out with them.
Where is he then?
Who?
I have a date. Every payday, 4:45.
Hey!
Come on, lover boy.
Okwe, will you help me?
Hey, guy, before you took £5.
No. But you watched the door, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? Come, my little princess, come, little princeso. Security room is out of bounds for half an hour.
5 minutes max.
Immigration Enforcement Directive.
Okwe looks round and slowly stands up to find himself facing the same two officers who are at the flat.
Can I help you?
They show him their ID.
What time do the maids clock in?
Wakey-wakey.
5 o'clock.
It's 4:45.
You mind if we wait?
The officers loiter nearby and Okwe sits back down, trying to hide his fear. One of the officers opens up a book of matches bearing the hotel's insignia. He then takes out a packet of cigarettes.
Excuse me, sir. This is a non-smoking area. If you wish to smoke, perhaps you can wait in the designated area across the lobby.
The officer smiles humorlessly. Then they both cross over to the lobby. They glance over at Okwe, and he looks down at his desk. Then Okwe glances up at them and slowly reaches down for something. Yvonne's having sex with Juliet. She clumsily picks up the phone.
Hello. It's for you.
Hello. Okay. But I am almost there.
Shanai will be here in 2 minutes. You must stop her.
Shanai walks swiftly along the street. It's a minute to five. One of the officers looks at his watch, then paces around impatiently. Okwe glances nervously at the dour-faced officials. On the CCTV monitor, the revolving doors start moving and staff begin to arrive. They each nod to the camera as they go in. The officers show their identification as the staff walk past them. The staff file past the officers, barely paying them any attention. Okwe watches anxiously. Yvonne staggers in, tucking his shirt down in front of his trousers.
I have a medical condition. Lightning doesn't strike twice.
He storms outside. Shanai approaches the entrance, but Yvonne stops her just in time. He escorts her away.
Is that the last of them?
Yes. This is an interesting place. Would you like to see a red card?
The officers walk out. A busy street in central London, teeming with traffic. Okwe and Shanai are walking along, chatting.
I have a friend. In our factory, they always need people.
It's a sweatshop.
Is it any worse than cleaning up after whores? It's better money. Oh, you are so sad for me.
I do not wish to cause harm to anyone.
That is all it is?
I will collect my things and go.
Go?
How can I stay?
Okwe, who will cook for me?
If it's okay, I will call on you if I have the time.
But I'm owed 3 days' money by the hotel.
I will see Senor Juan tomorrow morning.
I have the money for food.
I will see him today. Meet me at the cafe at 4.
Shanai makes her way along a wet and dingy alley, rubbish strewn about near run-down cars. She approaches a corrugated gate and knocks on it. An old brick building stands beyond the gate, and steam rises from the ground. Okwe heads into the hotel. In the office, a weak-looking man is slouched in a chair, another man comforting him and holding his hand.
You are here to see Senor Juan? Looking for work?
The man pats the stricken man's forehead with a cloth.
Vous travaillez?
Français?
No.
M'aider?
Yoruba. You speak Yoruba. Bantu?
What the fuck are you doing here, Okwe?
Shanai has decided to leave. She asked me to collect what she's owed.
Oh, yeah? What, are you marrying her or something, Okwe?
I'll get her money.
Okwe lifts up the man's shirt, revealing a huge open wound.
You must get this man to hospital now. Right now, you must go straight away, do you understand?
No. If you are a doctor, you can do something for this guy.
This is the wound of an operation. Where did they have this operation? Which country? You must get this man to hospital.
No. They won't go to hospital.
No, hospital.
Okwe's cab speeds along the road. He makes his way down the hospital corridor towards the mortuary. But when he gets there, the place is all locked up. An orderly passes by. Okwe looks helpless. He trudges along a corridor and at the far end sees two cleaners taking some buckets into a storeroom. He makes his way into the laundry room.
Sister. Hello, it's my first day here. I was told to collect my green overall.
Which shift are you on?
Shift?
Come on. Either you're late or you're really late.
Wearing some green cleaner's overalls, Okwe looks at a map of the hospital on a wall. He mops the floor in a waiting area and glances towards a doctor going into an office, the shelves and cupboards of which are stocked with medicine. The doctor takes some medicine off the shelves, then closes a windowed hatch that looks out onto the waiting area. She opens the door, revealing Okwe with his mop and bucket. With a nod, she lets him in. He glances over at shelves of medicine as he mops the floor. He mops his way across the room and over to a stack of tall shelves holding an assortment of medicine bottles.
You couldn't do the bins in the kitchen when you're done in here, could you?
Okwe nods and the doctor heads off. Okwe grabs a bottle of medicine from the shelf. He then glances at a doctor still in the room, measuring some liquid into a jar. Okwe takes another bottle. In a flat overlooking the river, a woman wearing a robe uses some tongs to pick up something from the hot plate of a cooker. She puts the items into a clay pot, then adds some further ingredients. She carries the pot down some stairs and into a bedroom where the injured man is lying on a bed. Okwe's inserting a needle into his leg. Okwe finishes the injection.
Okay. You see these blue tablets? You must take two every 2 hours. You understand? You must take two blue tablets every 2 hours.
They don't understand him. A little girl.
You speak English? And Somali?
A bit.
He says to say thank you, God is great.
Tell them he must take two blue tablets every 2 hours.
And
one white tablet every 6 hours. It is very important that you get this exactly right. Ask him which hospital they went to have the kidney removed.
Hospital K, Bakalida, Lagososari.
Ofstalkamantigi.
He says they didn't go to hospital.
Ask him where they did this.
Marka, Hekeba, Lugokale. In a room.
He had his kidney removed in the hotel, yes? How much did he get for risking his life?
In Miss Alessia.
In Maka. One is in Grisa.
He is English now.
He swapped his insides for a passport.
Ninka Hudelka. Wherio Iligas Kaule.
Warum?
The man at the hotel said it would be like taking out a tooth.
Shanai is working in a factory, running a length of cotton through a sewing machine. A large, dour-faced man sits at the front table, sewing with a needle and thread. A lever's pulled, switching off the machines, and everyone leaves. Shanai's making her way through the bustling market. The market stretches off down the lamplit street. Okwe comes into the cafe.
Can I get you something?
I've been here 1 hour.
An hour and a half.
Okwe gives Shanai some money.
I will go and collect my things.
Why won't you sit down?
The cafe owner gives Okwe some more of the green plant, and then Okwe joins Shanai at a table.
Okwe, where have you been?
Africa.
I thought you weren't coming.
I would have got you the money somehow.
The money?
She holds his hand and caresses it.
Do you feel that? Do you feel anything?
She pinches his fingers.
You know I counted. I've seen you laugh 3 times. 4.
He eats some of the leaves.
You think I'm so innocent. In my village, they chew those leaves to forget how hard their lives are.
I use it to keep awake.
You know, it makes you look...
She impersonates his chewing.
You should keep away from me. You lost your job. Because of me, you're in a sweatshop.
He stands up wearily.
And now you are going again.
Be sure you make it to New York.
I will make it to New York, Okwe, thank you.
He heads out.
Best if you don't show up until after 5. Most porters are gone by then. Only ghosts left. Showers are here. Water's not too hot, but it runs. Couch in my office is pretty soft. I forgot. You don't sleep, do you? My friend, welcome to my hotel. Beautiful, isn't it? And the other residents are very quiet.
It will only be until I...
Until the world improves.
Gao Yi hands him some keys. A dark car drives along a deserted city street. It stops outside a large building and Sneaky gets out, holding a white container. He makes his way up some steps and into a hotel kitchen. A smartly dressed man in uniform goes over to him, and they hug. Sneaky slides the box over to him.
Best truffles I've ever seen in England. Dug up 15 hours ago in Provence. Came through on the night train.
He smells them.
So we say 1,000?
I'm in the wrong fucking hotel.
1,000, Signor Juan. What'd you say?
Okay. 1,000. But if I give you that price, I need a favor. There's a night porter, African. He came from you, so I guess he came through Amsterdam.
Okay. What about him?
He's some kind of doctor. What kind of doctor? I need to know what there is to know.
The factory workers scatter in panic, including Shanai, and within a few seconds the factory floor is deserted, all apart from the large man working with a needle and thread. The two immigration officers burst into the room. The man looks up at them impassively.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
We're looking for someone called Shanai Gillick. Thought she might be working here.
Do you see anybody working here?
If you see her, give us a call.
He He picks up the photograph they've left behind and studies it. The staff, who have been waiting up on the roof, head back inside. Shinai is met at the door by the factory owner. Silently, she follows him.
You have been here for 2 days, and already because of you, I'm in trouble. Maybe I should call immigration. Should I call them?
You wouldn't do that.
I need a good reason. What can you give me? If they find out you've been working, what will they do? They will put you in prison. And here, they mix the men and women. So every night, you will be raped. If you want to be like a Western girl, that's what happens to Western girls. If you want to go to jail, fine. If you can't give me a good reason, I will call the immigration. I'm a good man, Sinead. I know where to draw the line. I don't want to take your virginity, Sinead. I just want you to help me to relax.
He's pressed her up against a well-hidden rail of clothes and grasps her face with his hand.
You have such a beautiful mouth, Sinead.
He struggles with something, then pushes her down while closing his eyes with pleasure.
Akumatum, my ladies and gentlemen, your culture is bitte, bitte schauen, but you must take your own luggage to the coach.
Okwe passes the departing hotel guests.
I will help only those who cannot carry their own bags.
Okwe, get up here.
Okwe heads up the staircase.
This man is a doctor.
I'm okay.
She's okay. She only needs to rest a minute.
He qualified in Lagos. He worked for the Nigerian government. His name is Dr. Olusegun Olatukombo Fadipe.
We must hurry or we'll miss the coach.
Sneaky grins smugly at Okwe. In the underground car park.
In the end, I find out everything about everyone in this place.
Here, take a look at this.
French. It's a work of art. There are two Lebanese guys I use who are the best in London. All you do is give them a photograph.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Senor Juan.
If you were just some African, the deal would be simple. You give me your kidney, I give you a new identity. I sell the kidney for 10 grand, so I'm happy. The person who needs the kidney gets cured, so he's happy. The person who sold his kidney gets to stay in this beautiful country, so he's happy. My whole business is based on happiness. But for you, Dr. Olusegun Olatokunbo Fadipe, I've a better idea.
I do not want to get involved, Senor Juan.
Each time you operate, you get 3,000. A passport for you, and one for Chennai. Take her on honeymoon.
I do not want to get involved.
You could even go back to Africa, and no one would know who the fuck you are. Your choice. No rush. Just wanted to put a little wasp in your head.
Sneaky leaves Okwe looking shaken. At the mortuary, Gao Yi is sewing up the pocket of a cadaver's suit jacket.
Unusual. Chinese guy with no family. Maybe he's from the back of a truck. I cut off his buttons so his spirit can escape. I'm sewing up his pockets so he can't take his bad luck with him to the spirit world. If he's an atheist, I'm ruining a suit no one will ever see. If he's a Buddhist, I'm giving him eternal happiness for the price of a piece of thread.
I have found out why the heart was in the room. They are removing kidneys. One of their patients died at their hands. Another I treated for a staphylococcal infection.
You're treating people. I hope you charge.
Did you hear what I said?
There's nothing so dangerous as a virtuous man. Well, Okwe, if you're so concerned, you should go to the police. Get yourself deported.
Do you think if it were just for deportation, I would not do it? I'm a wanted man, Gwagi.
Wanted for what? Okay, you didn't know people sold their organs.
Not here.
What do you mean, here? Here in London? You think it doesn't happen because the Queen doesn't approve? I heard in London it's 10 grand for a kidney. For that, people take risks. If I had the courage, I'd sell my kidney. Just to get out of here. Just to save my brain.
Sitting at the hotel reception, Okwe is woken by an alarm. He looks frazzled as the clock ticks nearer to 5 a.m. In the security office, he reaches out for a videotape and discovers an envelope marked Dr. Olusegun Olatokunbo Fadipe. He opens the envelope to find the photograph of a young girl inside. He turns with trepidation to the ringing phone.
The problem with always being on time is that you can always be tracked down.
What do you think of the girl? She's my next customer. 8 years old. She's called Rima.
Her family brought her over from Saudi, hoping for a miracle. If she don't get a new kidney in the next few weeks, she's going to die. The doctor we use is no good. If she fucks up again, there'll be another her down the lavatory. Okwe, you still there?
So I'm an evil man, right? But I'm trying to save her life. That's weird, huh?
The kind of thing that keeps you awake at night.
Ivan comes in.
Tonight, London is colder than Moscow. I heard it on the radio.
He shuffles back out, hugging himself against the cold, while Okwe, having ignored him, is shaken once more by the ringing reception phone. He struggles with his emotions before answering it. Shanai is in a phone box.
Okwe, it is a crazy idea, but we really can do it. You said you like New York. Or Los Angeles. I'm going there, Okwe. What do you think? And Okwe, you could go there too.
Shanai.
Are you okay? Shanai, where are you?
What has happened?
She puts the phone down and brings her hand up to her mouth as she sobs. Then she scurries away along the street. Okwe looks worried. Now, in her flat, Shanai is dancing around in circles in her nightie, as if in a trance. Okwe lets himself in and looks at her with surprise.
My fingers. So, I have decided to go to America.
For America, you will need a visa, Shanai. Or maybe a European passport. You keep away from Senor Juan!
It is like taking out a tooth.
This lying, Shanai! Because you are poor, you will be gutted like an animal. They will cut you here, or they will cut you here. They will take what they want and leave the rest to rot.
One of the laundry girls did it, and now she's free.
Others are dead, Shanae.
So, they are free too.
What would your God say?
My God does not speak to me anymore.
Don't break, Shanae. Save money. Keep New York in your head and work hard.
You know what kind of work I do.
She drops down onto the sofa looking heartbroken. At the factory,
run!
As the other women head off, the factory owner walks over to Shanae and she gazes up at him helplessly. She goes with him to the secluded clothing rails and obediently drops to her knees. He undoes his zipper. She tilts her head to look up at him, and then leans in. He closes his eyes with anticipation and licks his lips. Shanae races through the factory, grabbing some clothes from a rail as she passes. Running down a metal fire escape, some of the clothes drop to the ground, but she leaves them behind and hurries off the premises. Okwe arrives at the cab firm.
Wait, somebody in the back room looking for you. She look like a film star, boy.
He heads along the seedy corridor to where Shanae is waiting, dressed in a fur coat.
Shanae!
Look, Okwe, I know for sure that this coat cost £300 and this dress...
Shanae, you must tell me what has happened.
We can sell the coat for £200. Do you know what...
Shanae, where did you get this?
I bet, Okwe. At the factory. He said he would report me to immigration and he made me suck. But today I bet.
Okwe pulls up outside the shop beneath Shanae's flat and, leaving her in the car, he rushes inside. In the flat, he frantically packs a suitcase, filling it with Shanae's things. Next, he's leading her into Gao Yi's office at the mortuary.
Shanae sometimes has rooms in the hotel.
No, Shanae.
Just for tonight.
Through there, there's hot water and a shower. Hurry, Shanae.
What is this place, Okwe?
It is a place where you can stay for tonight.
So cold.
If anyone comes, you are a friend of Guo Yi.
Having made her a bed on the sofa, he checks his watch, then makes to leave, but she reaches out to him. He looks down at her hand, clutching his. Then she gets to her feet.
Tomorrow we will find you somewhere to live.
He gently strokes the side of her face, and she touches his chest.
So, it isn't there.
She leans her head against his chest.
I can hear it.
Okwe seems moved and struggles to find words. Silently, he heads off, and she watches him make his way out of the mortuary. In a basement-level laundry room at the hotel, Okwe's vigorously ironing a white shirt. He turns the shirt over and presses down hard with the iron. Then, as steam rises in front of him, he suddenly leans over the board and, breaking down, holds his head in his hands. He looks up at the ceiling in desperation. Later, while he's sitting at reception, a room service call comes from room 515.
Hello, room service.
Now he's carrying a bottle of water in an ice bucket towards room 515. Light illuminates the corridor as the door behind him opens.
Buenos dias, negro.
In the room, a black woman in her underwear is sitting on the edge of the bed. At the door, Sneaky steps to one side.
Come on, come on.
Sneaky pulls him inside and closes the door.
She's kneeled by mouth the whole day. Please.
Sister.
Help me, brother. Stop acting like you've got a choice. Please.
Put on your clothes.
Please, hijo de puta. You came here in the back of a truck with your own holy chains. Can't believe you like me!
Okoye wields a scalpel.
The whole world is wrong, except you, Okoye? What? What, Okoye? You're going to cut me up and flash me away? Huh?
Dropping the scalpel, Okoye storms out. He races downstairs to the car park, removing his uniform as he goes. Leaving the hotel in his own clothes, he speeds down some steps. Outside the mortuary, he slows when he spots Gao Yi and Shanai in the corridor. He walks towards them.
I really, really don't know you at all, do I? This is Shanai. She is a friend.
I'm not your friend.
She's been out here all night.
I would rather freeze to death than go into that building again.
You know, Shanai, there are mornings I feel the same.
Come, Shanai, it's cold.
The house of the dead, Okoye! They're all dead!
Okoye. Maybe this will help. My cousin has a room in Chinatown. I guess there's space for two. You know, Okoye, good at chess usually means bad at life. You do realize that she's in love with you, don't you? I've been with her 20 minutes and I know it.
But then, I'm bad at chess.
Now, Okoye and Shanai are walking past a graveyard. He carries her suitcase.
Shanai, there's something I must tell you.
This is your religion?
I have no religion, Shanai.
You have stopped chewing the leaf. I can see it in your eyes. You know, Okoye, your eyes are quite pretty. You're not bad looking.
Shanai, listen to me. I come to this churchyard often. I come here to be alone and to think about my wife. So now you see.
What do I see?
You should not see me anymore.
Do you love her? Do you love her?
There is a room above a restaurant. The immigration police do not dare go into Chinatown. You will be safe.
Do you love
her? Here's some money for the rent I owe you. There is more for the trouble I have caused you, Shanai.
Okoye, do you love her?
Love? For you and I, there is only survival. It is time you woke up from your stupid dream.
He walks away, stopping momentarily to look back at her with an almost menacing expression. Looking broken, she turns and heads off in the opposite direction, carrying her suitcase. She arrives at Sneaky's office.
Yes. Shanai. Are you going on holiday or something?
Senor Juan.
He gestures for her to come inside and she steps in tentatively.
Senor Juan.
America, maybe?
She nods. Moments later, he leads her to the room opposite 515. Opening the door for her, he hands her the key.
Come on, you clean up their shit so long. Now you can be one of them.
She steps in and shuts the door, and he smiles to himself. In the cafe, Okwe is staring distractedly across the pieces of a freshly set out chess game. He seems tortured. Shania looks at her reflection. She's wearing a hotel dressing gown and her hair is wet. She frowns, then reaches into her robe, touching her skin. She grabs some of the dressing gown at her side, then makes a slicing motion with the edge of her hand. She looks up at her reflection once more.
Who is it?
It's me. I got some paperwork.
Okay. How old are you?
22.
How old do you want to be?
22.
Hey, come on. Relax. I can make you whatever you want. You want to be Spanish or Greek?
Italian.
You're going to need a new name.
Isabella Incarico.
You're sure that's Italian?
She owns a cafe in New York.
Okwe's in Chinatown. He searches for a particular shop, then heads inside where he talks to an older man and points up at the ceiling. In the hotel room, Sneaky takes a bottle of champagne out of the fridge.
Okay, you are at New York Immigration. What's your name?
Isabella Fontana Incarico.
How old are you?
22.
Where were you born?
Napoli.
Where in Napoli?
Arinella.
Right. The trick, Chennai, is to believe you are the new person. If you believe it inside, then the immigration will believe it. Drink, Chennai.
She moves away from him awkwardly.
What are you afraid of? Okwe's gone. Got scared and go away.
Go to hell.
This is hell. I'm helping you to get away. Take off your mask. Come on, come on. Hey, hey,
stop! She rushes at him with the champagne bottle.
I'm arguing like you are my fucking wife. Let me explain something, Chennai. Your role now is what the Americans call a deal breaker. So...
No.
You're this close to New York and you said no.
He rips her paperwork in half, then heads for the door. Still brandishing the bottle above her shoulder, she begins to tremble. He reaches the door.
Wait.
I want the whole thing. That's the deal. Take it or leave it.
You do not see me. You just do. Take it or leave it.
She switches off the light. Then, in the semi-darkness, he takes her from behind, pulling her head back. Okwe is in a traffic jam. The road is in gridlock. At the hotel, Sneaky gets dressed while Shania lies in a now blood-soaked dressing gown.
So it wasn't so bad, huh? Nothing to cry about.
I'm not crying.
If you told me it was the first time, I'd have cut a ribbon. I can't believe Okwe never fucked you. You kind of love him, huh? Women love men most who don't love them back. Well, you had a lucky escape. You know why he ran away? Because I found out that in Africa, he murdered his own wife.
She screws up her face and fist in pain.
You don't eat or drink for 24 hours, okay? Doctor's orders.
He heads out with the paperwork. When he's gone, she allows the muscles in her face to relax, and a solitary tear rolls down her cheek. Outside, Okwe walks towards Ivan.
Shania. Shania's here.
Ivan nods a little, then hangs his head. In room 510, Shania hears a knock at the door and sits up. As Okwe lets himself in, she pulls her robe more tightly around her. He crosses the room and kneels before her.
I will need a pill. There is a pill you can take the morning after. You are a doctor. At least you can get me a pill.
Okwe strides purposefully from the room. In the basement car park, Sneaky heads over to his car with a spring in his step. As he drives off, Okwe steps out in front of him with a determined expression, forcing him to screech to a halt. Sneaky surreptitiously places a tire iron up his sleeve before stepping out of the car.
I won't allow you to butcher her.
You won't allow?
I will operate on her myself.
You'll do what?
I will do it. It is the only way I can be sure she will not die. In return, I want a passport. A new identity.
Well, holy shit. So you are human, Okwe?
I will bring you our photographs tomorrow morning.
Okwe goes. And looking smug, Sneaky scratches his neck. Juliet, still at room 510.
Hi, I'm Juliet. I'm a friend of Okwe's. He said that you needed these.
So, he did not care enough to bring them himself.
Oh, Okwe's an angel.
In the bathroom, Shania takes a tablet.
There. Never happened.
Juliet offers her a hand-rolled cigarette.
So, what did happen?
Juliet sits on the edge of the bath.
Before, I was a virgin.
Jesus.
Mohammed.
They both laugh, then Shania hands the cigarette back.
What a pair. The virgin and the whore.
Okwe and his boss from the taxi rank head to a car.
The doctor needs a good car.
At the mortuary.
Take it. Last time you were lucky. Black is back.
Okwe stares at the ID card, then the two of them gather supplies from a stock cupboard, which they then disguise as a body beneath a sheet on a gurney. They nearly crash the gurney, but nobody notices. Now at the hotel laundry, Okwe hands a bundle of sheets to a staff member.
Wash this again.
Boil, boil, eh?
Hot, hot.
In the hotel kitchen, he boils surgical implements in a large pot, removing them with tongs and leaving them to dry on a sheet. Sneaky makes his way to room 510 and knocks on the door. Okwe answers dressed in scrubs. The room is draped with sheets.
Joder. So, this is how you do it right.
There can be no guarantee against E. coli.
Wonderful.
No.
Sneaky hands him an envelope, then removes the unlit cigarette from his mouth. Okwe opens the envelope.
Passports. It's something I do right.
Outside the hotel, Gao Yi pulls up by the entrance and Ivan runs over to him.
No parking.
Okwe wants me to wait here.
I gave her a sedative an hour ago. She's only in a deep sleep. But now you are here, I can administer the anesthetic.
Now I'm here?
You are going to be my assistant, Senor Juan.
What the fuck is this?
I have noticed that if you do not drink, your hands shake. When you pass me this scalpel, I do not want you to cut off my fingers. Where will they come to collect?
Sneaky takes a gulp.
If you faint during the operation, I will have only half an hour before the kidney begins to deteriorate.
They come to the laundry bay, back of the kitchen. You better start.
Go and scrub your hands.
Yes. Professional. It's decided. It's fucking decided. You and me are going into business. You know washing dishes? You know when you forget on Friday and come in Monday and there is a pan with sauce? White, green, shit. That is como se hacen las cosas en Ceuta, ¿no? Yeah. Jesus. Was I speaking English then? What do you say? ¿Por qué dices? Shanai!
Sneaky pulls into Okwe's arms and Shanai jumps up to help lift the dead weight onto the table she was on. She undresses him while Okwe administers a respiratory bag.
Understand how the ice will help.
Make you last longer, babe.
I don't want to last longer. It's not even payday.
All right. Make you harder. Think what happens to water when it freezes, huh?
There.
Get a bucket.
Bucket?
Come on!
Okwe, you have removed kidneys before?
Many times. In pathology.
What is pathology?
It means the patient is already dead. Did he tell you things about me, Shanai?
No.
He watches her walk across the room.
Let me wipe your brow, doctor.
She pats his forehead with a cloth. Then he gestures for her to answer the door. It's Juliet with a white box.
Juliet, put the ice on the bed and put on the gown. Take the bag. Squeeze. Gently. Let's go and scrub up.
She squeezes the respiratory bag. Outside, Ivan to Gao Yi.
Cold tonight, huh? On the night like this, who would want so much ice?
You are Pallades. Pallades was the boatman who ferried the souls to the land of the dead. If you didn't put a coin under the tongue of your dead relative, Pallades wouldn't take them to Hades, no matter how good you had been in your life.
Okwe prepares the patch of skin with a sterile wipe.
Life.
He draws a line, then cuts neatly along it across Sneaky's waist.
Juliet, you are not allowed to faint.
Okwe glances at Chennai, then makes a deeper incision. A car pulls up in the basement.
Pass me the ice.
With the incision clamped open, Okwe reaches inside. Juliet leaves the respiratory bag and fetches the open box of ice. Chennai waits with a small, clear plastic bag, and she watches wide-eyed as Okwe removes the bloody organ and places it into the bag.
Is that it, then?
I must sew him up.
Why?
Fetch me stitches.
Now, Juliet, Okwe and Chennai head down to the basement car park.
Juliet, will you go and check there is no one else waiting?
Yeah.
Okwe is carrying the white box. A man gets out of the recently arrived car and watches as they walk towards him. Okwe offers him the box.
Señor Juan, he's drunk.
The man takes the box back to his car. Checking inside, he places it on the back seat and covers it with a tartan blanket. Then he reaches for an envelope and he takes it back to Okwe.
How come I've never seen you people before? Because we are the people you do not see. We are the ones who drive your cabs. We clean your rooms and suck your cocks.
Juliet raises her hand. Okwe hands her a wad of cash from the envelope. Then he and Chennai appear at the front of the hotel and climb into the car Gao Yu's driving. Okwe gives money to Ivan.
In 1 hour, call an ambulance. Send them up to room 510.
Juliet? Thank you.
1 hour.
Okay.
They drive off through the night.
Panda? Panda, it's me, Chennai. You hear how good my English is? I'm coming to New York. I'm coming to New York. I'm coming to New York.
My hands are shaking.
So am I. I don't have a driver's license.
It's dead.
It's the tunnel.
When we leave the tunnel, I must tell her what time we land.
Chennai, what Sneaky told you was true.
He did not tell me anything.
I did not kill my wife myself, but still it was my fault.
No.
I was a pathologist in Lagos.
And now we are someone new.
A government official was shot. I was told to destroy the evidence.
I don't want to know.
When I refused, my house was firebombed. My wife was still inside. The police charged me with her murder. I had to run. But my daughter stayed, Valerie. She's with my sister in Lagos.
How old is she?
7. I must go to her.
With tears in her eyes, Chennai faces front. They travel on in silence. They arrive at an airport building. Chennai gets out and Okwe follows, dropping Gao Yu's paperback book through the front passenger window. The two friends hold each other's gaze for a moment. Then Okwe and Chennai head inside the terminal. As they walk together, slowly, he looks at her.
Tell me about Lagos. Do they have hotels that need maids?
When you arrive at the airport, you will see a whole line of yellow cabs. The guy will take you across a bridge. When you have crossed the river, you will see lights in the trees. Policemen on white horses.
No. I know that it won't be like that. Goodbye, Okwe.
He watches her walk away. Next, she's standing in a queue looking devastated when Okwe appears behind her.
You must go, Isabella.
Always in tight. This is the cafe where my cousin works.
They touch cheeks for a few moments. Then she backs away towards her gate. She clutches onto her passport and ticket, staring at him as she steps ever nearer the desk. Her face brimming with sadness. As she hands over her passport for inspection, he steps a little closer. The airline staff member flicks through the document and glances up at Shanai's face before handing it back to her. She shares a look with Okwe, their eyes moist with tears. Then, having been given back her papers, she hovers in the doorway to look back at Okwe again and mouths, "I love you," and he returns the gesture with a melancholic smile. A tear rolls down her cheek, and she smiles before disappearing through the gate. He frowns with sadness and then moves away. The sun rises above the airport, turning the sky a vibrant orange and pink. Okwe makes his way to a payphone and puts in some coins. He dials a number with an expression of painful expectation, then lifts the receiver to his ear.
Yes, it's me. At last. I'm coming home.
Fantasy becomes reality next for a bingo caller obsessed with Philip Marlowe. Albert Finney stars in Stephen Frears' Gumshoe on BBC Two next.